Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Red Sox review for the final time here in 2025. Christian Arcan with you. Cooper Boardman alongside. What's up, Coop? How are we doing tonight, buddy?
What up, Arcan? I'm all right. I wouldn't even say good. How are you?
I mean, I'm beside myself, honestly. I wasn't expecting this to be an easy one here tonight. I was expecting it to be a challenge. I thought that Schlittler was going to come out and pitch well. Connelly early, I thought, pitched well, too. But listen, for all the talk about the defense and the defense letting down early and some of the other things that happened over the course of this game, I agree. I mean, that was all pretty ugly, but fact is, if you can only manage 5 singles in a game and you scatter them throughout the game, you're not going to beat anyone. You're certainly not going to beat the Yankees. And for this Red Sox offense, I mean, to see them run out of gas like that, it was pretty disheartening. I was expecting, and maybe I was stupid for doing this, but I was expecting that after the first two games against the lefties, that you had your normal lineup in against righties with Abreu, with Yoshida, with Rafael up in the lineup, Duran leading off, etc., all those things, which I sort of felt had been missing a little bit in those first two games, and instead it was a worse effort than you had against Fried. It was a worse effort than last night against Rodon. Schlittler was very good, but let's be honest here. I mean, a lot of those were 99 right down the middle. It's not like he was being clever. It's not like he was really mixing it up and keeping guys off balance, which, by the way, Connelly early was doing for those first three innings. And then in getting to that fourth inning, I mean, just a lot of really cheap hits, some atrociously bad defense, really hallmarks of this team here, a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs and commits a ton of errors. That's been a problem for them all year long, and all of that reared its head here throughout this series and certainly tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm like still mentally in disbelief that the outfield was the issue. Like the fact that Seidon Rafaela didn't make that catch, and we can go catch probably or whatever you want, but you're right, they made a lot of errors throughout the year. Trevor Story making errors down the stretch was a big story and big part of this, but you're talking about Seidon Rafaela didn't catch that ball. How many times have you said that all year? And that opened up that can of worms in that fourth inning.
Yeah, it certainly did. And one other thing I wasn't counting on was for Nate Eaton to be your best hitting outfielder in this series. I mean, Seidon Rafaela, Jaron Duran, Willie Abreu, those guys barely made contact, let alone get on base. Like, that was brutal. And I know Rafaela worked a couple of walks, but in terms of, like, coming up with a big hit, no one was there to do it. I mean, Trevor Story a couple of times last night. Masa Yoshida, I'll give him credit tonight. He got on base a couple of times. He's the only one who could see Schlittler's fastball really at all. But other than that, I mean, you didn't have much. Jaron Duran has just gone completely in the tank. Alex Bregman, I mean, a lot of these guys, you were expecting maybe someone to come through, someone to pull them up out of this. And instead, they all kind of turned into pumpkins all at the same time. It was a tough watch tonight. No question about it. Credit to the Yankees. I mean, listen, the Yankees have been getting their ass kicked by the Red Sox all season long, and they were able to sort of turn that around and come away with this win. Schlittler was a guy that the Red Sox hadn't seen this year. They hadn't seen him. They'd seen all the other pitchers, but not him. And it looked like they hadn't seen him. It looked like they had no clue what was coming or no clue how to hit it.
I was sitting here just thinking about, like, who's going to be the guy, right? And Bregman had a couple good at-bats. Story has a hit in this game. Yoshida was amazing over the first, four innings of this game. He was the only one who touched Cam Schlittler. I just could not watch this game, especially late, not think about Roman Anthony and that swing that was 1 month ago, and how this series and how maybe the end of the season would have been different had he been there. And of course, like, it didn't happen. So it is what it is. But to me, this entire season changed when he walked off that field, with the oblique injury. And You know, Schlittler was the latest example of something we've seen over, you know, a 3-4 week stretch here, Arcan, you know, where without him, this offense is completely different. Makes you feel better about next year. Doesn't make you feel any better right now.
No, it certainly doesn't. You know what annoyed me the most about this game tonight? You know what really pissed me off the most?
What do you got?
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon jumping around back there behind home plate. I know he grew up in Brooklyn. I know he's actually a New York guy. He's in this Red Sox movie, so everyone assumes he's a Red Sox fan. He's actually not. He grew up in New York. But sit down. I hope Trump cancels him next. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I don't hope that. But I was very upset by that. That annoyed me. Along with, you know, just being able. Also, I thought at the end of the game that Fleming and Middlebrooks and Lou all had a very, very nice sign-off. But did they have to play Sinatra like 12 times in a row? Jesus. They started back up again. It's like, all right, guys, we get it. You won, okay? How many times are you going to play this song? And I'm not one to talk because every time the Red Sox beat the Yankees, I was singing that song on Red Sox Review. So I really have no room to talk here, but I just did find that obnoxious as well. But hey, listen, you win, you get to do what you want. You can play the song a million times in a row if you want to. Now the Yankees have to go to Toronto, take on the Blue Jays, a team that I think is very vulnerable. You talk about a team with not much of a pitching staff. The Red Sox, you know, I mean, Giolito going down, that was huge for them. The Blue Jays have a similar problem. I mean, they got Gausman and Scherzer, and that's basically it. I mean, they don't have a lot else in that rotation. Tons of injuries. Barrios out to the bullpen. So we'll see what that next series is like. I probably won't watch it until like game 3 or 4. You know, you got to take a break after a series like this. But yeah, what was the turning point for you in this game, Coop?
Well, I think when you saw Schlittler get through the second time through the order and continue to look the way that he did, right? And you know, you could see when they gave him the 4-run cushion, it was just going to be, and to be fair, even before the 4-run cushion, it was 99, 100, 101 right down the middle. And, you know, you alluded to it. I just don't think the Red Sox had the horses in this series to contend with that. And, you know, in the postseason, when the stuff ticks up, when the starters get better, you need your stars. I mean, you know, you watch these other series. You watch what Chicago did and what San Diego did. You know, you watch kind of around the league. I'm sure we're going to watch it this weekend. You know, and look, I'm sure we're going to get calls about a Devers trade. I'm sure we're going to get calls about all sorts of things into the offseason. But, you know, there's one reality, and that's the fact is this is a lineup that needs to be deeper than it was if it wants to win a game like this tonight, if they want to win a game like this next year.
Yeah, absolutely. On the subject of that, just looking to the future a little bit. I think the future's pretty bright here for the Red Sox. I do. And it's not just because of the young players. The young players obviously is great. I mean, some of the contributions that you got, Connolly early, I feel like is pretty studly. That was a nice performance from him. I really don't think that he was getting hit very hard. I mean, the line's going to look like he gave up a ton of hits, but they were mostly these little seeing eye singles and bloopers. So I feel good about him. You obviously feel good about Roman Anthony, Meyer. We'll see about Christian Campbell. But even beyond those guys, I mean, Crochet is signed till 2032. You know, you got Yoshida signed for a couple more years. He's not a free agent until 2029. Bayo is signed long-term. Rafaela signed long-term, although he was tough in the series for sure. That was some tough at-bats from him. Certainly that bunt. I'm glad we didn't have to see him bunt again. But you got Chapman signed for another year, 2 years. You got Whitlock signed. You know, there's guys who are going to be here for a while, not a lot of players that are going to be leaving. And I think that while you should make some additions, you have a lot of the fundamental building blocks to put something in motion that can get back to the playoffs next year and maybe even win a round. I mean, I think that this team has all the tools for that. They just need to add some more pop in the lineup. I think there's no question about that. And by God, do they need to go out there. And I know they had plenty of it to start the year, but you can never have enough pitching depth. That lesson tonight.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll get into it. We'll have plenty of time, not only tonight, but over the next 130 days till pitchers and catchers report. We'll get into it with the callers here in just a second, I think. But you know, to me, Crochet is wonderful at the top, but you look at what the Yankees did in this series. You know, they have Fried as a one who they paid. They have Rodon as a two who they paid.
Yep.
And then they start their pitching development process from there with Schlittler. So, you know, the Red Sox went out. They got Garrett Crochet. They paid him. It's great. But to me, there has to be a two that is known, right? Whether it be Framber Valdez or any of these other guys on the open market. And I also think, too, we can get into it, like, just guy by guy if we want, you know, over the next, you know, 30 minutes or so. But this roster is a lot more up for grabs offensively than maybe I think people think. Like, there wasn't a lot that positionally made a lot of sense at the deadline. Not that more couldn't have been done. But, you know, beyond Bregman, which is going to be the big question going into the offseason, what you do at first base, what you do at second base right now, you know, how you move guys around in the outfield. I mean, there are a lot of positions up for grabs to get better offensively, which I guess as I say it out loud, I'm vaguely talking myself into a silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's what you do on a night like this, but I think that there is certainly all the tools and all the building blocks here for a team that I think should be able to move forward. One thing I think is going to be interesting coming up here is Jarren Duran and his arbitration hearings, because this was not a great year for Jarren Duran. I mean, his numbers fell off, certainly didn't continue on the upswing towards MVP status that you saw in the previous 2 years, and Duran can be, you know, he can run a little hot, so I wonder how that's all going to go. I mean, if the Red Sox were thinking about trying to, you know, lowball him or anything during arbitration, they have a whole year's worth of tape and certainly this playoff run here to go in armed with. But again, these are all things that are going to happen later on in the year in the offseason, things like that, and we'll see about how all that goes. I know Jarren Duran staying on the team was not something everybody wanted to see. I was okay with it since it didn't seem like they had a Joe Ryan deal in place. The deal I remember that everyone was reporting on, Coop, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was Jarren Duran to the Padres, who have been super horny for Jarren Duran for like months, and it was Dylan Cease, a catching prospect whose name escapes me at the moment, and another prospect, I think, right? So, like, that, you know, Dylan Cease, would he have helped? Sure he would have, but, you know, you don't expect Giolito to get hurt. You don't expect Dobbins and Fitz and Hauk and, you know, Cutter Crawford to never come back and, like, all these other guys. That was your pitching depth, and it was gone. I mean, you had 7-8 arms, and in the end, you only had two.
Yeah. No, it's the reality.
Well, three, technically.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's not like Connelly Early was bad tonight. You know, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't close to it, but... you know, you feel good about the future. And I think, you know, as we zoom out, and we'll zoom in on tonight and just where to go next. But there's no question, and you talk to people in baseball circles, Red Sox pitching development's in a great place, and it's only getting better. And, you know, it's Toley, it's Early, it's Harrison, then it's Crawford and Dobbins and Fitz. Patrick Sandoval's sitting out there. So there are a lot of options, but I don't
about him.
You're right. No, I get it. But it doesn't mask the reality that this is a team, if they want to contend with the team that won the AL last year and the one that we just watched over the last 3 days, there has to be another known in this rotation. Again,
sure.
A lot of time to do it, but it's a reality.
And if you're looking for another potential silver lining here, and I don't know for sure if this is going to actually happen or not, but if there's one thing that's going to compel John Henry and Tom Werner and ownership to really make a push to get this team back over the hump, it's losing to the Yankees in New York in a situation like this, isn't it? I mean, this was big. This was some of the most watched wild card games in baseball history. I mean, like, this was a big deal, certainly since they changed the format. Maybe not baseball history, but you know what I mean? Like,
No question.
It was a big deal. It was a big spotlight on the series. Everybody was tuned in. And to go out like that, I wonder. I wonder if that registers with John Henry anymore. I wonder if that's something that will make him want to continue spending and being aggressive like they were this past offseason. I'm not going to downplay that. I mean, the reason why they're here right now is because of Crochet, Bregman, and Aroldis Chapman. I mean, let's be honest. Those three were a huge reason why this team made it this far. So I'm not going to act like they didn't spend in the offseason, but I just hope they don't consider that a one-off. Well, we tried. What do you want from us? You got to keep the pressure on. You got to keep doing what the Yankees are doing. You're right. They paid their guys. You got to do that, and you got to keep adding. I mean, that's it. This lineup, the way it is, and this rotation even, needs some help, and they need to go out and get it.
Well, there's no question. Greg Breslow had a good offseason, right? I mean, between Crochet, Bregman, he traded for Carlos Narvaez. He got Justin Wilson and Aroldis Chapman. He had one miss, and it was Walker Buehler, and he got out from under it. You know, he wasn't married to it. But you're right. It's a reminder that, like, it's a Rome isn't built in a day reality, right? Like, the Yankees went out and signed Gerrit Cole and then paid him again. And he got hurt, and what'd they do? Well, and the timeline's a little different, but they lost their Gerrit Crochet, right? In air quotes. And they backed it up with Fried and Rodon. And you've seen it around baseball. That's what these teams that are contending do. The six of the top 12 payrolls in baseball were in the postseason, including the Red Sox this year. But I can't imagine. And look, it's October 2nd at 11:35. The season ended an hour ago. But I can't imagine we're going to be sitting here very disappointed with the Red Sox offseason. It's just going to be about where Craig Breslow wants to go with it. And The questions begin right here, right now.
Certainly. Red Sox Review, by the way, is brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that will put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. All right, Coop, we've been yakking long enough here. Let's get to the phone calls.
Please.
And we'll lead it off, as we always do, with our leadoff hitter one last time. Casper in Worcester. Hey, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Hi, Cooper. Both you guys have said everything. That is the state of the Red Sox. And it's very difficult to win two playoff games when you get a three-inning and a fourth-inning start. I mean, it's next to impossible. So they did well. All the ingredients are there. And they just have to make those additions that both of you guys have said. That's the 100% reality of the situation. And then they'd be better next year in advance. And I don't see the Yankees as unbeatable. In a seven-game series, they could be exposed. I just don't think they're really, really that good. But they beat us, and that's it. And yesterday was our best shot, and it didn't happen. So thanks for all the great post games, Christian. And first time ever saying hi to Cooper. And I hope it'll be better. The ingredients are there. I'll let you go. You got plenty of callers.
All right, thanks, Casper. And Casper, don't be a stranger, buddy. I know Red Sox season's over, but you can call in the Christian Arcan show anytime. I'll put you right up to the front, all right? All right, Casper's gone. All right, let's go to our number two hitter, Johnny in Brooklyn. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the call. I'm enjoying listening to you guys. This was a tough one. I think the most annoying thing for me was listening to the ESPN announcers just gushing over Schwitler and not understanding that this Red Sox team offensively has been rough for a while and was rough tonight. I want to say about Cora, I'd given him a lot of credit in game one. I give him a lot of credit in game two. Tonight, for him to run Romy out and even to put Duran, like, you got Sogard and Eaton, who were both playing pretty well coming this game. This is a must-win game. You gotta take chances, and I thought that was pretty indefensible given how they'd been playing. I want to get your thoughts on it, but Arcan, you know, it's been a great season. I've really enjoyed listening to you, and I really appreciate you always taking my call and letting me be a part of it, man. And you know, next year, there's always next year. Anyway, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Johnny, you don't be a stranger either. Cooper, you want to take that one about Alex Cora and the lineup tonight?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, the idea with Romy is he's such a good fastball hitter. Like, he's one of the best high-velocity hitters on this roster. He's slugged against fastballs all year on a night where you felt like you probably had to hit a home run or two to win. And that's your nine-hole hitter tonight. I get it. I totally understand. Would I have liked to see Nick Sogard as a switch hitter there against the righty? Maybe, but that's the thought process. I'm not going to say either. It didn't work, but it wasn't the reason why the Red Sox lost tonight.
No, I don't think so either. And I would have maybe listened to Sogard for Romy at the bottom of the lineup, maybe. You know, Gonzalez was so good down the stretch, though. It's hard to really commit to that. You know, if you're going to go down, you want to go down with your guys. And Nate Eaton and Nick Sogard, if they were in the lineup and they got shut out 4-0, that'd be a much bigger story, I think. You know, like, well, why didn't you play your guy?
We'd be sitting here having the same conversation the other way. And, Alex Cora is so convicted in the postseason, right? I mean, you know, what he did in game one, took something. What he did in game two took even more.
Yep.
And this is what he did tonight. But, you know, to me, this was, and I understand the thought there, from Johnny. To me, this was more about Schlittler and less about the Red Sox. It's the two things coming together. I mean, the Red Sox offensively were not in a place to answer him and really haven't been for a few weeks now, especially since Roman Anthony went down. But, to me, it's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. All right, let's try Pat and Quincy before the break. Hey, Pat. Pat and Quincy going once. Going twice. All right.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Pat, what's up?
Hey, long time no talk. Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, the Red Sox, they had a great year, I'd say. They just had so many injuries that I don't think, you know, there was any way they were going to overcome what was coming up against them. I mean, with all the injuries they had, if they were, you know, relatively healthy, I'm not even talking fully healthy, I think they won 100 games and probably are World Series favorites. But that didn't happen. They had too many injuries to face, and I think given what they had to face, I think they had a decent season. But I just want to say game two, I know, you know, game three just happened and that's what we're talking about. But game three, I mean, if they knew how to bunt, if Rafaela could lay a bunt down, if Jaren Durant could make a catch, you know, who knows? This series is probably different. I think we win it in two. But I guess you tip your cap to the Yankees. And the Red Sox got to do a lot more, I'd say, in the offseason to turn this thing around. But, you know, like I said, given where things were in the regular season, I think you got to give them credit. Most managers, you know, Alex Cora did a great job. I don't think most managers even get this far. But also, like I said, I mean, if you knew how to play the damn game, you probably win game two and you're moving on to the next round.
All right. Thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. The injuries were real. I mean, from Giolito to Meyer to Dustin May was unavailable. Not that he was any good, but yeah, he was unavailable.
Casas,
Roman Anthony, Bernardino, who, listen, I mean, you may not think much of Bernardino, a guy out of the bullpen. He was an opener for some of these games. You know, he'd come out there, pitch two innings to start the game, and then hand it over to a reliever. That could have been a way that they went if they had gone further. Jordan Hicks was out. Again, Noel, but Richard Fitz, Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, Hunter Dobbins, Tristan Casas, who you mentioned. I mean, that's a long list and some really important names on it. Now, every team deals with injuries. That's not something that only happened to the Red Sox this year, to be sure. But it did have an impact, especially in the starting rotation. There's no way to deny it.
No doubt. I think you have to anticipate, and we have to live with the idea that as the Red Sox create more and more good arms, and they're doing it, right? Between Dobbins and Tolley and Early and Fitz and all these guys and guys that people don't even know about yet, injuries are a part of this, you know, and you know, the Yankees are a good example where, you know, they lost Gerrit Cole and Clark Schmidt. I mean, they lost two of their five, like two of their real top four for the season, and yet we just watched what we watched. It's an excuse in the sense that it's tough, and like, would I like to have seen Lucas Giolito on the mound tonight, and there's nothing you can do about that. It's just brutal, yes. But at the same time, there's no general manager or president of baseball operations in baseball that doesn't plan for the contingency. And I'm not even – Craig Breslow did. Connelly Early was there tonight, and he was okay tonight. But, you know, the Red Sox have to walk into spring training 7-8 deep, which they already are. And, again, I go back to with two big ones at the top.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back, get to the rest of your phone calls, and sign off one final time here on Red Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Review. All right, a few minutes left here on Red Sox Review. Christian Arcan, Cooper Boardman, and you at 617-779-7937. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so let's get back to the phones. Phil and Menden, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight, gentlemen? Quickly.
Bummed out, Phil.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Fortunately, the Boston Red Sox led the American and National League in errors, 116 errors.
Yep.
So that's kind of a tough thing. Fundamentals, we got to improve on that. I hate to say it, but some of the players, like AAA ball players, front office got to credit Bledsoe. You know, he's got to improve on. But getting some good players. I'm not telling you to be like the LA Dodgers and go $40 million. Strike that. $400 million to our $200 million payroll, but in you know, like Tommy John surgeries, Sandoval, Liam Hendricks, Giolito, they all went through these things. Why, instead of get three or four of these players like that, sign one, like, you know, one free agent top-notch player with cliche, you know?
I hope they do that. I hope they do, Phil. And thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in all season long. You know, I mean, listen, there could be another trade that happens this offseason. I know they went after Joe Ryan and couldn't get a deal done. Same thing happened with Crochet last year in season. Then they get to the offseason, they swing a deal. So that may be what happens again this offseason. I certainly hope it is because they do need another frontline starter. I mean, Brian Baio and Giolito both had great seasons. I mean, really, they were both great this year. At points, they were unhittable this year. But you need more than that. You just do. I mean, you're going to need more elite arms in that rotation. You know, Tanner Houck, I think, coming into this year, people were hoping he'd bounce back from a rough second half last season after he was your ace, basically, you know, for about a year and a half there. And I'm not sure what his future holds. But that's, you know, that's sort of where that rotation is right now. You know, that's a big part of it. And I think Connolly early next year is going to be a big part of whatever it is that they're doing. As a, you know, back-end starter, Kyle Harrison, we'll see. I mean, you know, these are all guys that have, I think, a lot of potential. And this Red Sox team is very impressed with their young talent.
They should be. You know, again, the Red Sox pitching development, just as a whole, if we had had this conversation, and we did, on October 2nd of 2024, it's completely different. And now it's about supplementing it with everything that this offseason is going to bring.
100%. Let's try Steve in Centerville. Hey, Steve.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Got it, Steve.
Enjoyed you guys all year. 2 points I want to make. One is just reiterating that last caller's point. You can't talk about Red Sox not hitting when they're fundamentally a small ball team and they can't play defense. Romy playing second.
He
Come
was
on.
Brutal tonight. He was brutal.
Would have been a much better job. But my bigger point that I'd like to make is just a reminder, Red Sox Nation, if we won tonight, we celebrate two huge holidays, Christmas and New Year's, Yankees elimination day and Red Sox going forward in the playoff series. That's what would have been. What we experienced tonight was the opposite of that.
It was.
Our Christmas and New Year's being destroyed in one night.
Yeah.
Just acknowledge that.
A visit from Krampus is what it felt like, Steve. Thanks for the call. We're acknowledging that just fine. Thanks. I think we've captured the feeling of this night pretty well. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating this all, but I think that we've all sort of grasped the despair here pretty well. You lost to the Yankees after you were up 1-0. It doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, listen, you know, it does get worse. You could be down 3-0 and have the Yankees come back and win four straight, which the Red Sox did 21 years ago. And this certainly is not any kind of substitute for that. This was a lot more like, I don't know, like Bucky Dent, you know, which was the anniversary of that 47 years ago. It was a lot, the stakes were a lot more similar to that, I would say. And it was rough. I mean, it was definitely rough. We'll see what the Yankees do, how far they go. I don't think they're a World Series team, but I guess time will tell. Jake in Boston, I believe you're going to have the last word here. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, I'm going to make it a positive one here. So, first of all,
all right,
I think
go quick. Hear the music. Go quick.
All right. So, Cam Schiller tonight is a product of Mike Glavine at Northeastern. I think the best baseball manager in the region at any level. I was kind of hoping Alex Cora would flame out so we could make that higher. What Mike has done over the last 7 or 8 years.
It's too much about Northeastern baseball, Jake. Sorry, got to let you go. Thanks so much, though. And Cooper Boardman, thanks for staying with me here. Thomas Crisafulli and all the producers we've had here for Red Sox Review. It's been a fun season. Everybody, we'll be back tomorrow with the Christian Arcan Show starting at 6 o'clock. And we'll talk to you then. Cooper, see you, buddy.
Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.